This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm the big fella at the ballpark taking in some baseball.
193 days to Christmas, so I mean you can wait a little while, but starting that shopping. JD, the rest of you, I'll let you know what I want. And somebody get over to Santa, ask him. Three-run Jimmy Jack right here would be nice. Maybe just skip ahead. I just Santa.
Dear Santa.
Dear Santa, can we fly the W? Please. High fly ball left field. Going back, Donovan at the wall. Gone! Ian Happ will touch a ball. Thank you, Santa.
Yes! Merry Christmas, Mr. Claus. There you go. First extra base hit since Wednesday versus the Rays. It was 16 consecutive singles. And then Ian Happ delivers the big blow.
Zach Zaidman on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
Boog Shambi is so good, he can speak things into existence in the middle of Cubs broadcasts. I miss that man. And we're lucky. John Shambi joins us now on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. That was on June 12th. How's the soothsaying ability going since then, Boog?
God, I wish I could speak stuff into existence. I had forgotten that Santa had given me the early Christmas present there, but more to come in this upcoming season. That's all I have to say. I think JD has been the guy with a better track record for predicting, but I will be asking Santa for more gifts. There is no question.
So that is John Shambi, the legendary voice that you're able to hear blasting through the speakers of your television sets or your streaming devices, whatever you use, to watch Cubs baseball on the Marquee Sports Network. You can also hear him during the offseason on ESPN calling college basketball. Where are you today? You've got to be calling college basketball somewhere.
I am. I am in Waco, Texas, and I am calling Kansas and Baylor this afternoon. So, yeah, I'm on a heater right now. I had Kansas and Houston last Saturday, went double overtime, really good game. And then on Monday, I had the Caleb Love 60-footer at the buzzer three to send it to overtime, and Arizona knocked off number three Iowa State. So we'll see.
All right, I've gotten, and this is the last one I'll ask you about college basketball before we get to the Cubs. So I've been able to watch UConn twice this season in person. They've won back-to-back NCAA championships. They're not as good this year. I don't think they're winning the championship. Who has caught your eye from all the different teams that you've gotten a chance to watch? Who are you watching for?
I mean, I don't think it's overwhelming the way it was last year with UConn. I think Duke's really good and they can win. I think Auburn would be right there. I think Alabama can win. In the Big 12, I would say the two most likely candidates would be Iowa State and Houston. I think both those teams can win. But I mean, they're all beatable. So I don't. There's not a real sexy, you know, pick. I wouldn't say.
It's going to be an interesting NCAA tournament because of what you just mentioned. All right, let's talk some Cubs. What stands out to you about the offseason plan?
I mean, look, the creativity, I think, you know, I like the Kyle Tucker from the standpoint of, you know, you made the move, you needed to shake the roster at least a tiny bit because you were taking an 83-win team and basically bringing back the same eight. So they changed that. And then, you know, they did it in a guy who's basically going to be a one-year rental, or at least for right now, the way that, you know, it starts out. So, I think there's more to come would be my guess. I think that they'll still do something else. But, I mean, as of right now, you know, they've very clearly cleared a path for Matt Shaw. And, you know, if it gets super sexy and it ends up being Alex Bregman, great. And then Shaw goes to AAA, and if somebody gets injured, you have one of the best prospects in baseball waiting down there. So I think they're in a pretty good spot. I mean, look, the other thing I would say, having nothing to do with the Cubs, is the division is just sitting there asking to be taken. I mean, just asking. I mean, it's not as if anybody in the division has done anything outside of the Cubs getting Tucker and projects to be a monster. So the Cubs with their farm system and the talent that they have currently on the major league roster, I mean, are in a pretty good position. And I think the Central is right there for them.
And the Cubs do have the resources to add more, like you mentioned. So I don't think they're done kind of putting this team together. And even once the season starts, they have the resources, if need be, and if they want to add on to what they've assembled. But I do want to talk about Kyle Tucker, because people have been saying, you hear it, you just said it, that they're better with him. Why? What does he bring that's been missing here?
I mean, I guess maybe for some people, they don't realize, you know, over the course of the last 3 years, he's probably been one of the 10 best position players in the game. You know, like this is dude is a stud. He slugs, he gets on base. You know, those are the two components that make a hitter great. He runs, he's won a gold glove. I mean, he's an all-around player, and he's going to give you, you know, when healthy, he's going to put up a big-time season in terms of, you know, I think as good an outfielder, you know, this side of Judge and Soto, he's a beast, man. So I don't know that everybody realizes that he's been like he immediately becomes the Cubs' best player, and I'm not sure that everybody quite recognizes how good he's been. You know, it was like when we were at CubsCon, even, you know, Craig Counsell even said, he's like, you know, you sit there and start to do your homework on Kyle Tucker, and you're looking at his previous seasons, you're like, man, this guy did damage. So I think that's it. I just don't think that it's quite, you know, in Houston, despite their success, I don't know that people, you know, recognize between over the years, Correa, Altuve, Bregman, Yordan Alvarez, this guy's a monster.
Yeah, he did it quietly, but the numbers are eye-popping. We're talking Cubs with Boog Sciambi here on The Score. And when it comes to Matt Shaw, what's realistic? What kind of a player does he project to be? And then what do the Cubs internally believe he can do, at least initially?
I don't think anybody inside the Cubs is going to be able to sit here and tell you that they feel confident in what it will end up being. I think that, you know, overall, they have a better feel for what type of player he'll turn into. I think he's, you know, he's going to hit for power. But be clear, if he sticks and he's, as of now, going to be given the chance to be their third baseman, it's going to be because of the bat. So he's hit and he's got to hit. I mean, that's the thing, you know, to what level are we talking about? You know, like, it's funny because you've just got to, I think, you know, even I'm guilty of it, but we just have to adjust our sights. It's like, if I told you Matt Shaw is going to hit 255, like, what's the first thing that you say to that? Does that excite you? And most people would say no. Okay, that's 10 points above major league average. And then if I said his on base is going to be 330, does that excite you? Not really. Again, that's about 20 points above league average. If I told you he was going to slug 420, does that excite you? Yeah, not really. Okay, that's 20 points above league average. From a rookie, it's why when you rewind and you go back to what Michael Busch did last year, for Michael Busch, the season that he put up in his first season and playing every day, and you and I watched and we got to see with our eyes, watched him progress and transition into a very solid defensive first baseman. But to put up the numbers he put up, he was probably in the top quarter, one of the top seven first basemen in all of baseball. You don't get a lot of rookies that come and put up above league average seasons in their first season. I don't even know that it's realistic to expect that from Matt Shaw, but you certainly can hope, and I would say he's definitely capable, but expect, I can't give it to you.
That's why I love having you on. Context and perspective. We're talking Cubs with Boog Sciambi here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The rotation, does it excite you?
I don't think it excites me, but I feel confident in the rotation. I mean, I think that this team, again, the combo of pitching and defense, I think that this team will do a good job suppressing run scoring. I personally wish that both starting and relieving, they had more guys that threw harder. I'm still, you know, the trends in the game, I still believe that velocity is, it's hard when you have a staff comprised more of guys that are trying to suppress contact, because if the ball's in play all the time, it just means there are more chances for something bad to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a good staff, and it was a good staff last year. And, you know, look, I mean, I don't think you can expect Imanaga to put up the same numbers, but he's shown very clearly that he's, you know, an above average major league pitcher. And it, you know, even if he's league average-ish, Justin Steele has been one of the better starters in the National League. And then, you know, you hope for health from Boyd, you hope for health from Tyone, because J-Mo's been a consistent, just solid starter. And then, you know, I think where it starts to get interesting is, you know, where this team can go from 86 wins to 89 wins is if those expectations you mentioned are fulfilled from Matt Shaw, or Cade Horton has a chunk of innings that are lights out, or they get a healthy and really effective Ben Brown, or some type of production from someone else who's not currently on our radar because spots are filled. But when you get production at a high level from cost-efficient players, that's how those win totals grow.
What's Javier Assad's role? Do they know, is he a starter? Is he going back to the bullpen? Is he kind of a hybrid?
I mean, I would say that, like, of all, I mean, I say this to you in a teasing way, yeah, like, of all the questions, like, that is one that is completely who cares? Because, like, who cares? Because it's just every year he comes to spring training and he's fighting for a spot in the starting rotation, and he's not going to make it, so he's going to go to the bullpen, and then somebody gets hurt in the starting rotation, and then he starts and he pitches well, and then he gets bumped out of there, and then he goes to the pen and he pitches well. I mean, he is the classic, what Craig Counsell likes to call, out-getter, whether it's starter or reliever. And I think the most wonderful thing about Javier Assad is that he has shown he does not care. He goes out to the mound. He is unfazed, and he gets outs whatever role they put him in.
Yeah, he's just a bulldog. John Shompy is with us. Our final few moments talking Cubs with Marquee Sports Network's lead play-by-play man. You hear him all summer with JD. Just great television. Now, I always talk to you. I always come into the booth before games, and I talk to you about the end of the Cubs bullpen, like who's coming in to close. And
yes.
Craig Count, and you always tell me it doesn't matter because the biggest outs of the game may occur in inning number six, where you need the best guy in your bullpen to get out of a bases loaded jam or whatnot. So can you tell the people what you always tell me? And then based on what the Cubs have assembled so far in that pen, what's it going to look like?
Look, I think Presley will close, but it doesn't matter. Like, the game can be lost in the sixth, the seventh, the eighth, and the ninth. They need Ryan Presley to pitch well. If Ryan Presley pitches well and Porter Hodge pitch well, I don't care which roles they're in. I know there was quirky stuff last year with Alzolay. Neris is not a classic closer type of guy. They just didn't have enough good dudes. Here's the point in today's game. We're done with the days of hoping the starter goes seven or six. And for the most part, it's like, five and gone. So you're trying to get a dozen outs most games or 11 outs most games from your bullpen. That's a lot of outs. So you need a lot of good dudes. But there's so much room for error so that the ninth isn't the thing. It's another three outs. Is it harder? Yes. To me, it's harder for sure. But you need more good guys. If you have a really good closer and, if you have a really good closer and nothing in the seventh, eighth, ninth, like they need Porter Hodge to pitch well again this year. And I just don't get so fixated on the closer's role, especially with what we've been watching. Like, it's changing. It's happening in front of you. They're not doing it the same way anymore. So, Presley's just got to pitch well. I think he'll probably get the most saves on the team, but I don't think he's going to be brought in that spot every single time. And more and more, you're seeing smart managers look at matchups and guys being really willing to say, hey, in the eighth inning, it's Judge, Soto, and Stanton. And in the ninth, it projects to be, Trevino, Gleyber Torres, and somebody else. Yeah, you know what? I probably should put my best reliever in the eighth because that's probably going to be the game. They're doing stuff like that more and more, and it makes sense. So, I think they probably could still use some more help in the pen. But my bullpen philosophy is not fixating on the closer. It's just more good dudes. You need as many good dudes as possible. If I had my choice of Emmanuel Clase, if I could just do this, like this would be the example. If I could have Emmanuel Clase or the rest of the Guardians bullpen, I would take the rest of the Guardians bullpen.
Wow.
Now that's a lot of dudes.
A lot of dudes.
But I'm saying, and then pick and choose. I'd rather have the volume. So that's all.
Power in numbers is what you're saying. And that's why I think year in, year out, the toughest thing to build for any team is a bullpen. Because you need all those guys to get those outs beginning in the sixth inning. I want to ask about, you mentioned him briefly, Boog, Matthew Boyd. When he's right. Yeah. What's right about Matthew Boyd?
Yeah, he sort of lives in the. I think he fits the profile of what we've seen, with the Cubs sort of threading that needle of. He will get swings and misses, but also can suppress batted ball contact. I will say this: if he's healthy, I feel pretty good that they will have gotten themselves a good. a good big league pitcher. I also think it's unique that, you know, you're talking about a staff that's loaded with lefties, and teams are going to be teams that aren't prepped for that or don't have a matchup to go against that are going to have a hard time with it, I think.
Yeah, I agree with you. And one last thing before we say goodbye, and I totally appreciate your time here on this Saturday before you start calling some hoops. When you look at PCA, based on what we saw second half of last year, where does he need to get better in order to ascend to that next level as a major leaguer?
Oh, I mean, look, I think the thing that's hard is do it this way. If he plays, if you could ask him to play the way he played the last 2 months of the season for the whole season, we're good.
That's like, a special player, yeah.
Yeah. So, and again, I know people, you know, people talk about, you know, wanting him to lead off. It's kind of a different version of the closer thing. Like, look, for them to be good, he's going to have to take that next step. And, you know, for Craig Counsell, he's going to hit his best hitters the most. And right now, Pete's not one of their best hitters. If he becomes one of their best hitters, he'll hit more.
See, you always are able to put it into context. That I love it. All right, is there anything I missed? Is there anything that has been gnawing at you the entire offseason that you haven't had an outlet to talk about?
So I wish you'd tip me off to this question because I think it's a really good question. What's been gnawing at me? I don't think so. I mean, I wanted to talk to Paul basketball with you at some point, but we need like longer stretch as far as that. Yeah. I wanted to ask you about Ben Johnson and if you're excited about that. But gnawing at me, I don't think so. I haven't been gnawing on very much.
That's good. A calm and relaxed, easygoing John Boogshambi.
Right.
By the way, to quickly answer your question. to answer your questions quickly before you get to your game in Waco between Kansas and Baylor, I do think DePaul has a really good shot of winning tomorrow. They're hosting Seton Hall. That would be their second Big East win of the season. And the program looks a lot better since Chris Holtman took over. And I think Ben Johnson, it's a home run hire. Does it mean he's going to be a great head coach? I don't think anyone can answer that right now. But the Bears now have one of the brightest offensive minds in the NFL. Up there with Andy Reid and Sean McVay and Kyle Shanahan. And when you have a young quarterback who has shown you glimpses of special talent, well, it's nice to have a premier offensive mind to marry with that quarterback. And let's see. Now let's see what they can do. Can he be a leader of men? I don't know. You know, sometimes you have to grow into that role. Are there going to be mistakes? Perhaps. But it's nice to have someone that is equipped to take advantage of Caleb Williams' skill set and help him reach whatever his full potential is. So I hope that answered it for
you. I like it. I'm in.
Have a great call tonight.
You have any other guests coming on? Who else is coming on today?
Oh, we have a whole bunch of people. We've got NFL Network. Stacey Dales from NFL Network will give us a Super Bowl preview coming up about 1 o'clock. And then the publisher, Hub Arkish, one of the most distinguished football voices in the city and the NFL, will be joining us to talk some football in about 15 minutes from right now.
All right. Well, I'll let you get to break. Close it out. Lock it out.
We will. That is John Boogshambi, the award-winning television voice of the Chicago Cubs on Marquee Sports Network. I'm Zach Zaidman. We're here until 2. Your phone calls next on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Think warm, think palm trees, think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here.
If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
Zach Zaidman on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
Here until 2 o'clock, coming up in about 10 minutes from right now, we're going to visit with Hub Arkish, and I haven't prepped him for this. You know, maybe I should open up the phone lines for Hub, because everyone loves talking football with Hub at 312-644-6767, and we'll get Hub's thoughts on a variety of different issues. Not just what's transpired with the Bears so far this offseason. We'll get a Super Bowl preview. We'll also ask him about all the other moves that have been made around the NFL this offseason. And what is the NFC North going to look like next year? Because Detroit still has the same players. It could probably be stronger defensively with all the injured guys coming back. But, I mean, they lost a lot of key members on that coaching staff, like a lot of key members. So can they still be at that high level without those important coaches around Dan Campbell? Minnesota, what are the Vikings going to look like? Because there was a good chunk of this season in which it looked like Sam Darnold had turned his career around the same way Baker Mayfield has in Tampa. And now I'm not sure Sam Darnold's even going to be the quarterback in Minnesota next season. He's a free agent. I don't think he's coming back. So what do we think about Daniel Jones or J.J. McCarthy? Like, there are all these questions. And I think Green Bay, no one's talking about them, but Green Bay is primed to take a real step here, because Jordan Love got hurt in game one with the knee this season. Was never quite right. And they still made the playoffs and still had a terrific record. So we'll ask Hub all those questions, because no one has his pulse on the NFL quite like Hub Arkish. The Slam Dunk in Vegas National Contest is easy to enter. Just download the Odyssey app, log in, and listen to The Score each day for a minimum of 1 hour for your daily entry for a chance to win this unforgettable trip for four during the first weekend of the tournament in March. Stay at Circa Resort and Casino, where you can visit the biggest March hoops party at Stadium Swim. Airfare is also included, plus $20,000 to fund the ultimate viewing experience in Vegas. I got to experience this at the age of 21. That's when I visited Vegas for the first time. Fresh out of Syracuse, out of the famed Newhouse School of Public Communications, you know, the Harvard of this industry. First job out of school, Pete Rose had a radio show in Vegas at the MGM Grand. Eventually it moved to Mandalay Bay. But Pete Rose had a show every afternoon in Vegas. And they needed an update guy. And I was hired. It's when they did updates. You know, now with the smartphones, it's a completely different story. You don't need updates. The updates come on your phone. But back then, I was the update guy for Pete Rose, the late Pete Rose, the hit king. And I learned so much about baseball, so much. Because in Vegas, Pacific time back then, all the games back on the East Coast would start around 4 o'clock. And I would sit there, and that's when Pete's show went on the air. And I would listen. I wouldn't talk much. I would just listen to everything Pete had to say. And there was a lot of gambling that was being done legally. Of course, it's Vegas. And I don't know if you've heard, but the late Pete Rose was big into gambling. And you learned some things not to do. But the reason I bring it up is that's when I got to watch the NCAA tournament for the first time in Vegas. And there's nothing like it. That first weekend, beginning Thursday through Sunday, that first weekend in Vegas, unbelievable. If you're a college basketball fan and you like to have a little bit of extra fun with the gambling while watching the games, there is nothing better than that first weekend in Vegas. Make it a guy's trip or a girl's trip, whatever it is. You go out, there's nothing like it. So this contest, the Slam Dunk in Vegas, enter, because it's it's a pretty big deal. All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, we talk football with the Hovlisher, Hov Arkish, 312-644-6767. Zach Zaidman with you until 2 o'clock on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This is going to be a challenge. I am well aware of that. I know what this division's about. And this is exactly where we want to be. We're going to go after this thing, and it's going to take all of us in this room. It's going to take this locker room. It's nothing more important than that locker room and us serving that locker room and those players. All right? They need to understand that. They need to feel that from us every single day. And if we do that, the wins are going to come. The playoffs are going to come.
Zach Zaidman on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
See, that's the kind of stuff that fires you up, right? That was Ben Johnson the day that he became the Bears head coach. When he walked through the doors at Halas Hall and addressed the staff, they were all looking up from the second floor and just seeing a guy that they actually didn't have to Google. I mean, you think about this millennium of Bears football, and there are a whole bunch of guys that have been hired that you didn't know about before they became the head coach of the Bears. I mean, you knew about them in passing. Everyone in the league knows Ben Johnson because of the great work that he did as the Lions offensive coordinator. Does that mean he's going to be a great head coach? I don't know. But I do know that Caleb Williams could not have a better partner in terms of helping him reach his full potential as an NFL quarterback. Zach Zaidman with you until 2 o'clock on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. And it's been too long since I had an opportunity to talk some football and more with this man. The legendary Hov Arkish, I call him the Hovlisher, joins us now on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. You can talk to Hov as well at 312-644-6767. Hov, I know you've been on a little bit since Ben Johnson was hired, but now having had a few days, a week plus, to reflect on this move and some of the people that Johnson has now brought in and helped formulate his staff, what stands out to you?
Well, the fact that they got the number one guy, that they got the best guy, I don't think there was any question about that. You know, you talked to everyone around the league, the guy that people were looking at. It was either Mike Vrabel or Ben Johnson. Vrabel was long gone before the Bears could get it done, and Vrabel was going to the Patriots. You know, they actually fired their coach after 1 year just to get him back because they knew they'd made a mistake last year. So in answer to the Bears, they got the best guy. And as you were just saying, as we came on, you know, when was the last time I can remember that happening? And then you look at the staff that he's put together so far, you know, very impressed with Dennis Allen as defensive coordinator, not only because he's a very good defensive coordinator, but because he's a multiple-time head coach. It didn't go well as a head coach, but he has the experience. He knows what can go right, what can go wrong, and that is going to be a great addition to Ben Johnson. And the fact that they're on opposite sides of the ball, I think, will make it easier for them to work together, you know, with occasionally Johnson taking guidance from Allen, and that'll be a good thing too. Now, 28-year-old offensive coordinator concerns me a little bit, but their head coach has been the best offensive coordinator in football the last couple of years, and he's the guy who wanted him. So that's all I need to know. What he feels is much more important, you know, than what I do. So, you know, Declan, it'll be interesting to watch, but I think they should be great partners. And then beyond that, you know, I know a little bit, you know, about some of the position coaches. Well, more than a little bit. You know, a couple guys, particularly keeping JT Barrett, you know, I think with the quarterbacks is a good idea. And Bill Johnson is a well-respected defensive line coach. So very impressed with what's happened so far. But I guess what surprised me and impressed me the most is what seems to be the communication and the coordination between Ben Johnson and between, you know, the McCaskies and certainly, you know, with the front office and the team president. Everybody seems to be on board. Everybody's saying exactly the same things. And it sounds real, Zach. That's the thing. So you can tell when guys are saying what they're supposed to say or what they're saying, what they're really thinking and feeling. And everything so far from Ben Johnson really feels like this is what he's thinking and feeling, and this is what he really wanted.
What do you think his offense is going to look like with this quarterback?
Well, I think it'll look a lot like the Lions' offense looked. I don't think that he's going to design a different offense for Caleb Williams. The reason that Caleb Williams was the majority number one overall pick in the first round and one of the highest rated quarterbacks in a while is that he could do everything. You know, they believe he can do everything that an NFL franchise quarterback has to do. And so I think that, you know, they'll come in here and they'll build the same thing that was successful for them, you know, everywhere else they've been. And it'll look very much like what the Lions did last year. You know that the Bears have always been a play defense and a run first team. And that's what he was doing, you know, really not so much. Well, yeah, run first, not so much play defense, although they got very good at defense until all the injuries piled up. So, you know, I think it'll look a lot like what the Lions did. But the running game is going to be important. So it's going to be very interesting to see what they do now to improve that offensive line. People keep thinking they've got to do nothing but draft offensive linemen. That's silly. The Bears' offensive line talent is actually ranked in the league better than most Bears fans realize, and especially their young tackles. So they don't need five new offensive linemen. They need the right group together. And if they can get that, then he can do anything he wants on offense, and that's where he hopes to go.
Talking football with Hub Arkish here on The Score. So if you had an opportunity to sit down with Ben Johnson and Ryan Poles, based on what you just said, where would you, what direction would you go this offseason in terms of constructing the football team and shoring up some of the weaknesses that we've seen over the last few years?
Well, I think the most important thing is that what we waited for all last year, and we're really surprised it never happened, which is to add another pass rusher. I know everybody wants to go offense first, but they spent a lot and added a lot on offense. They're good on offense. They need to add a few more pieces, but I think they've got to get that other pass rusher because that makes Montez Sweat so much better, and it makes the defense so much better. It makes everybody else better. So a you know, Pro Bowl level pass rusher would be a really nice thing to add. And then, you know, they've got to add the interior of the offensive line. They need at least a guard and a center, you know, and then we'll see what they can piece together. Whether they do that during the draft or free agency, we don't know. But I think those are the two things that they'll be focused on before anything else. They'll look at, you know, free agency first, because you can do that before you can do the draft. And I, you know, not going to try and fix everything in free agency, although they do have the fifth most cap space in the NFL. So I would look for them to go heavy in free agents. There's some really good offensive linemen out there. And there's some good edge rushers. The edge rushers in free agency don't impress me as much as the pass rushers do. I'm sorry, the edge rushers don't impress me as much as the offensive linemen do. And then, you know, then you start preparing for the draft. And the strength in this draft is at wide receiver and edge rusher. Those are the two top positions. So that's what I expect them to be focused on early, you know, as they get ready to readjust this roster.
Hub, I want to switch to the other side of the ball now, the offense, because you talked about what made Caleb so attractive to the Bears that they selected him number one overall last year. But he was billed as a generational player, right? A generational kind of talent. I don't like using that word, but it was used when it came to Caleb Williams. Are you surprised that he didn't look that way in long stretches at any point last year?
No, not at all. You know, that's very common for rookie quarterbacks. My favorite is people go back and take a look at Peyton Manning, one of the worst rookie years ever, you know, and that turned out pretty well. That's just one example. There's millions of examples. You can't judge on the first year of a rookie quarterback. And what's important to note about Williams is that some of that first year was very good. You know, we saw a lot of the things we were hoping to see. We just didn't see him consistently, and we did see some mistakes. I think the one thing that he did not adjust to well in his rookie year was adjusting to the difference of the speed of the game from college to pro, because he was holding the ball too long. You know, people keep beating up the offensive line because of all the sacks. More of those sacks were really his fault than the offensive line's fault. And again, I'm not defending the offensive line. It's not a great offensive line. It has to get better. But it's just not the end-all, be-all that people are making it out to be, because it wasn't that bad to begin with. But at the end of the day, you know, I think just the fact that, you know, as you pointed out, Zach, you know, he was supposed to be the generational guy, the immediate guy. And then coming off the C.J. Stroud year, you know, and what happened last year, and then having it happen again this year with Jaden Daniels, people are just, you know, it's newness concept, and everybody, oh, what's going on now must be the way. No, generally, rookie quarterbacks develop the way Caleb did last year, and it wasn't a bad first year. It just wasn't a really great first year.
Hub, one of the reasons I wanted to have you on is because in Chicago, we tend to look at the Bears in a vacuum, and we don't spend a lot of time focusing on the other teams in the division that you have to beat in order to get into the playoffs on a consistent basis. So I want to ask you about some of those teams. Let's start with Detroit, and they have lost a lot on that coaching staff. Is that going to impact them on the field, do you think?
Well, not only have they lost a lot on the coaching staff, but they're losing a fair amount in free agency, or they risk losing a fair amount in free agency, too. Now, they're still going to be a very good team, and yes, they will be impacted. But again, they've got the head coach. You know, he's the guy who brought in the coordinators. He's the guy that helped those coordinators be themselves, and he's still there. And, you know, when you look at the job he did hiring his last two coordinators, we assume he'll have a couple pretty good guys again. So I think it's got to have an impact. It's going to change everything. Not everything, most of what they do. But I wouldn't expect it to be a dramatic change one way or the other. I think they're still going to be the favorites going into the season in the division. They should be. And, you know, I don't know if they'll be as good as they were last year. It's pretty hard to win 15 games. But I suspect they'll be a pretty good team again this year.
What would you do at quarterback in Minnesota?
You know, the problem is that Darnold is so young. He's only 27. And so, you know, he's going to be offered some of these $450 million, $250 million, $200 million deals. And you can't do that, you know, unless you're not sure about McCarthy, if you're not sure about his health, or if you're not sure about him. Now, they see nothing to not be sure about him. I'm sure they still think the same thing of him that they did when they drafted him. But, you know, I don't know. He did have a second surgery. I don't know if everybody's aware of that or not. You know, it wasn't a major thing. It wasn't, you know, it was reported to be nothing to worry about. But I immediately start to worry with these injuries on young players when they start having, you know, extra work done to repair them. So we'll see what happens. But I think from their point, they have to bring in another older veteran quarterback and just let him compete from day one with McCarthy, because McCarthy did have the entire first year to learn, you know, and to watch and to know the scheme. And so maybe McCarthy can start on day one, but it's pretty much, it is his rookie year, and that is unusual. So they'll probably bring in, you know, like Baker Mayfield, you know, and what's happened in Tampa. You know, that's the guy they're looking for, and then hope that he keeps McCarthy on the bench. But they'll bring in a free agent who has been a starter somewhere else.
It'll be interesting to see what their plan is for Daniel Jones, because they did take a flyer on him, right? And I'm going to guess Darnold ends up going someplace else, because there's no way Minnesota can pay that money, right?
No, I wouldn't think so. I don't know why they would, because then you're writing McCarthy off for 3 or 4 years, you know. Now, that's not the end of the world, but it's not the way you would do it, because at that point, you're talking about a guy that you took with, what, the 10th pick in the first round, and now he's not going to play until, you know, he's been in the league for 4 years. That's not going to happen. So, no, they're not going to sign a big-money free agent. But, you know, maybe a Russell Wilson type, you know, a guy who can come in and get him on a 1 or 2 year deal if the Steelers aren't bringing him back. You know, that's the kind of thing that they're going to be looking for that worked fairly well for them until late in the season this year. And that's the kind of guy I would think about.
Our final few moments here with Hub Arkish on the Score. What do you make of Green Bay?
Well, they're loaded with young talent. There's no question about that. They have a very good coaching staff. There's no question about that. I think that Jordan Love has been anointed as the next franchise quarterback, you know, the next Brett Favre, the next Aaron Rodgers, way too soon. Now, he's good, you know, and I'd like to have him and work with him, but he's not there yet. He still makes a lot of the mistakes that young developing quarterbacks make, and I'm not sure that they have their franchise quarterback for the future yet. I think they have a good bet, but not sure. Other than that, they're loaded in a lot of areas, and they're a team to worry about for the next couple of years.
Now, you're going to have all week to talk about it, but your early impression of next week's big game between Philadelphia and Kansas City?
Well, my early impressions are that the Chiefs, as has always seems to be the case with them, are lucky to be there. Because when you go back and look at that last throw that Josh Allen made, you know, that looked like nothing, you know, until you saw the replay a few times, it was an incredible play. It should have been caught. And if he catches the ball, they at least tie the game and possibly go on and win the game. So, you know, that didn't happen. That's the way these Chiefs do it. That's why they've been to, what, 6 Super Bowls in the last 7 years or something. Amazing. Like something silly, or the AFC Championship games anyway. You know, and they're a great team. I think the Eagles are every bit as good when you look at the talent-wise and you look at the matchups. I think they're every bit as good at quarterback, although we haven't seen him do the things that we've seen Mahomes do, and that's what makes Mahomes the number one guy in the NFL right now. And I think what people don't realize about the Chiefs, they have the second or third best defense in the league this year, and that has not been Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl football in past years. They haven't been bad on defense, but it's always been about the offense. This year, it's about the defense. So when you look at the Eagles, that offense, you know, they're not going to take away the running game. You can't do that with Saquon Barkley. And to me, at the end of the day, that's going to be the difference in this game. The reason the Chiefs have won the last two Super Bowls is because of Patrick Mahomes, because he's different than everybody else. The reason I think the Eagles win it this year is because Saquon Barkley this year has been different from everybody else, and you can't take away that running game, because if you do, then they've got, if you try and take away Barkley, they've got other guys they're going to run the ball with. And so I just look for the Eagles to run the ball, to control the clock, to play with their number one defense, and I look for a really good game, but my feeling is the Eagles are likely to be the winner.
Great stuff. Hub, great catching up. Thank you so much for joining us.
All right, Zach. Take care, buddy.
Hub Arkish, spending some time breaking down the Bears and the NFL with us. You got just a little bit of a taste of what's coming up next weekend on Super Bowl Sunday. Coming up next, we go full bore, a deep dive, as we visit with NFL Network Stacy Dale. Zach Zaidman with you until 2 o'clock. You can join us as well, 312-644-6767. This is Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.